Praise God for the rain, right? How often do we sit in church and the room is darkened because of the dark clouds outside and it's pouring down rain? That's tremendous. This week, as we're working on Vacation Bible School and getting the float ready for the Derby Day Parade, remember to keep that in prayer, obviously. But as it may be, this day actually is National VBS Prayer Day. National VBS. That doesn't mean our nation's praying for VBS. That means that across our nation, Southern Baptists are praying for Vacation Bible School. But that's powerful. We need the prayer because we're investing in children's lives and youth, and we're planting the seed and reaping the harvest as God gives that blessing. And so let's just take a quick moment to pray for that. Father, we lift up to you Vacation Bible School. Father, that you would just be so powerful in the middle of it, that you would bless in every way that we want you to, meaning that obviously that we have the workers and we have the safety and we have everything in place. But Father, that's the structure. Beyond the structure, Father, I pray that you will allow us to see your hand work mightily, not just here, Father, but in every church that's doing Vacation Bible School, to lift up the name of Jesus, to share the gospel, that others might come to know Jesus as their Savior. And then I pray, Father, that these kids and these youth that are touched, and maybe their parents and families that are touched, that they will not just get saved, but they will grow in you and grow strong in you and live for you and be pillars of light in the world that they live in. And I just pray that you develop them that way. Now, Father, I just pray that you bless this message as we look at it. I pray that you'll be in the middle of it. I pray that you, dear Holy Spirit, will do your work and carry it your way for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title of today's message, as Don mentioned, is Don't Let the Parade Pass You By. Kind of a weird statement. Don't let the parade pass you by. It has kind of a thought-provoking inference involved in that title. When the kids were growing up, when your kids were growing up, maybe when you were kids here in Coalinga, Derby Days was a big event. It was, our kids couldn't wait to get their packet of tickets, couldn't wait to hit the rides, couldn't wait to be social with their friends and everything, or get the carnival food, or look at watch the fire water hose competitions, or the horn toad competitions, or the singing and the dancing and all the festivities. It was a joyous time, and the parade kind of kicking that all off, and it is just that time of year, and that time of year has come, and every year it comes faster and faster, as we know that it does. But when we think about, I want to focus on parades this morning. As we look at parades, we look at the parade of Coalinga, and often we might say, well, we're a little town, it's a little parade, it's a little short. But there's something very important about the parade, and just philosophy is that it's a focal point for the community to look at. And that's what I want us to realize, that in this message, that the parade is a focal point that is to be looked at. And I think that will be well applied here as we go on through the scriptures and this message. When I think about parades, this, I don't know if I would say this dates me, but because I think, I would hope, maybe it does. When I think of parades, I think about Miracle on 34th Street, black and white classic movie. Right? And the parade's going down. It's Thanksgiving, Macy's Thanksgiving parade. And you're looking at a shot going down the street and all the confetti and what we used to call a ticker tape and flying. Now it's just plain streamers. But you get a very festive picture, don't you? Confetti everywhere, streamers everywhere, horns being blown. Just exciting times. So I think about that. But my favorite parade to think about that one of these days I'm going to go see in person is the Rose Bowl parade. The thought of the crowd keeps me from wanting to go down there. If I could just go down there as a VIP in my own limo, have my own place, a skyrise to watch it from, something like that, then maybe. But isn't it amazing that the Rose Bowl parade, just the premise of it, that every square inch of those floats are covered with organic material and how beautiful they are? That's a focal point. That's a focal point of the parade. Of course, I love the Clydesdales, and I like the military on horseback, and I like the bands and all that type of stuff. I enjoy all of that. I don't like the advertising. I don't like the interruptions, but I do like the parade. And so I think about the parade, and as I said, remember there's a focus on each of the parades, on each of the parades. And this morning I want to look at some parades that we might consider that are in the Bible. I'm sure there are several that we might look at, and you're probably scratching your head and going, where, Pastor, is there a parade in the Bible? Well, think about what parade is. It's something parading through a community, right? And so I want to look at what I'm calling three biblical parades. The first is that the Jerusalem parade, the Jericho parade, and the city parade, and all of them, their main focus was, guess who? Jesus. Jesus. So Jesus was paraded into Jerusalem, Jericho, and also the city parade. I want to go back to Palm Sunday, because there's some points in that in a sense was a parade. As I described the movie Miracle on 34th Street and all the festivities around that, we can look at this passage of Scripture and see the festivities around Jesus entering into Jerusalem. In Matthew 21, 1 through 11, it says, "Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them.' All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey.' So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them out on the road. Then the multitudes who went before those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' So the multitude said, 'This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee.'" There's two points that I want us to look at in this passage of Scripture. And if you can look at this description of what happened when Jesus fulfilled the prophecy and was ushered in to Jerusalem on the very day as prophesied that he would do, we can see a picture of kind of a parade going on. There are people on either side of the path in which he was riding that donkey down, and they were celebrating him as the king. So he's ushered in. He's ushered in. Do you remember what I said on Palm Sunday? He was ushered in on a white donkey, but it was the foal of a donkey, which means it was the baby of the mother, right? So you got a mother donkey and a baby donkey, and the baby donkey was white, and Jesus was riding on the white baby donkey into town as it followed its mother. And why was he going into town? Obviously, not with the perspective of the people. As a new king, as a new ruler, as one that would deliver them, as the Messiah in their thinking of what would happen. But instead he was going there to complete the mission, to go to the cross, to die on the cross for the sin of all mankind. Why? Because God the Father is the judge, the highest judge of all. And he, in his judgment, in his righteous judgment, passed judgment on Christ on the cross for your sin and my sin when Jesus knew no sin, that we might know the righteousness of God in him. And so that was the mission. And he was going to go to the cross so the people can get saved. That was the focus. And so as he's riding into town, the people are doing some different things. They are from, all these people that are there are from different backgrounds. There are those that as they throw down their garments before Jesus or cut the branches off the trees, they start laying these things down before Jesus, but there are innocent bystanders. This is the second thing I want us to understand. The first is that Jesus was ushered in on that white donkey, which was, backing up here for a moment, was a picture of the ancient traditions of judges' sons riding on white donkeys. God the Father is the judge. Jesus is his son riding on a white donkey. That was a tradition in ancient times. And Jesus fulfilled that. And so I was catching up to where I am. The second point that I want us to make about this entrance into Jerusalem were the people. All the different backgrounds. The innocent standbyers, right? Maybe they just happened to be in Jerusalem because Jerusalem was a main metropolis. It was a world trade center, if you will, of goods. And so they just happened to be there, and maybe they've never heard of or seen Jesus, but this was going on, and it was a big ruckus, not a bad ruckus, but a celebratory time of Jesus entering in. Or maybe there were tired travelers, or maybe there were the outcasts in society, or the poor, or maybe some of the lame, the blind, the deaf, the mute, or the dead, like Lazarus, that was affected by the miracle of Jesus. You know, I was telling Dawn this morning, I said that all the miracles that Jesus did on earth, Scripture says, if they were all written down in a book, that the world itself, physically, the world itself, would not be able to contain all the books that recorded all the miracles that Jesus did on earth. So you can imagine there may have been people that have had things done that Jesus did that was a miracle that we have no idea about, but they were possibly there too, many of them. And the poor were there, the lame were there, the spiritually bankrupt, the rich, religious, powerful, political, young and old, men and women, children and girls. The variety of cultures from all over the known world were there. The disciples were there because they followed Jesus there. Obviously, they were with him. And then there were those that followed and wanted Jesus to be king, to set Israel free from the tyranny of Roman authority. And there were people there who loved and adored him. There were also people there that hated and despised him. And there were people there that just wanted to see this Jesus of Nazareth. Let's reread verse 8. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Now some of those poor people or those merchants that came in the town, they didn't have the plastic bags that we have to buy now to go grocery shopping. What a drag. But anyway, hassle. You know, I forgot my bags are in the trunk. But anyways, they would come with these burlap bags. Well, when they saw Jesus entering in, they would throw down their burlap bags. Or maybe they were rich people that had fine color dyed coats, and they would throw their coats down. Or someone else and others were cutting down the branches and laying it down. So if you see the burlap bags and the different colored garments of coats, and you see the branches, you see a patchwork of almost like the red carpet ushering in a royalty into a community. And so this patchwork of color as a pathway that Jesus was walking on or being carried on by that white donkey was quite an introduction. And people were yelling, Hosanna, and they were praising God and had great hope. And yet Jesus knew that hope was good, that hope was sincere, that hope would be fulfilled, but it wasn't at that time. It was time for him to go and to die. So that would be the first of the parades that were going through in biblical times, the first biblical parade. And remember, when they sang Hosanna, or in Hebrew, Hoshiana, meaning save us, we beseech you, from Psalm 118, they honored Jesus. But here's the second biblical parade. Remember, there's three. Right? The one into Jerusalem. And now this one is the biblical parade of going into Jericho. The Jericho parade. Right? Luke 19, 1 through 10. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not believe. But he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, "He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of all my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." Wouldn't we love the IRS to restore us fourfold? You know, wow. They need to know Jesus. But anyway, so, and Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." So here we have another procession, or a parading of Jesus through the city of Jericho, right? Just like he's done in other places, I'm sure, throughout his ministry on earth. And just like you would watch on Miracle on 34th Street or the Rose Bowl Parade, we see people in odd places, on the balconies of buildings, or maybe up in the trees, or up on the sky, on the high bleachers and those type of things, wherever they can to get a bird's eye view of the parade. Some were going, when that's what Zacchaeus did, he climbed that sycamore tree, clinging to it so he could see Jesus. I hate being in a public place to watch something and can't see because someone's head's in front of me. Right? It's annoying. So I can't blame him. Climb the tree, because he was short. He couldn't see anyways. And so as he climbed the tree, his heart was to see Jesus. Little personal testimony. I still haven't got this resolved in my spirit, in my mind, in my understanding. We know God by the Spirit. The Spirit of God indwells us as believers in Christ. And I love that intimacy that we have with him. But when we get to heaven and there's millions of Christians up there, when are we going to have time to sit with them? I want to sit with Jesus. I want to nudge up to my Lord and his resurrected body and just kick back with maybe a lion behind us and a pillow and talk, you know? And I'm saying there's countless people up there. How are we going to do that? And in some ways, I've visioned in the past being in heaven and watching Jesus parading through the crowd in heaven and me finding a sycamore tree to climb. So, Lord, if I could just see you and you could see me, that would be great, because we made eye contact. Well, that's Zacchaeus in the tree. He just wanted to see him. But Jesus not only saw him, but he spoke to him. Oh, and he not only spoke to him, but he also said, "I'm coming to your house, bud. I'm coming to your house right now. I want to sit with you. I want to fellowship with you and your household, your family, your friends. That's what I want." And so there's a great event that took place there as Zacchaeus looked at Jesus and Jesus communicated with him. Have you ever lifted your kids when they were little up on your shoulders at a parade, circus, Disneyland, or whatever? Of course, we've done that before. And of course, we got to a point where you're too big to lift on my shoulders anymore, right? But that was the focal point of the parade, was to look at Jesus. And that's the biblical parade that was passing through. And it was a blessing to Zacchaeus. Jesus knows who is seeking after him. Jesus will reveal himself to them and meet with them. Having said that, Jesus knows I want to sit down with him. Having said that, I know we won't be living in the timeline that we live in now. And so the dynamics of things are going to be different in heaven and eternity forward. And I'm assured that there will be a time when I'll be able to sit with Jesus and you too. So what happened to Zacchaeus that day? His heart was changed. That's another focal point, because Jesus' mission was to reach and to save the lost. Zacchaeus believed and Jesus met with them and he was saved that day. And I'm sure there were others that were saved with him that day. And so maybe Zacchaeus cried out like they did with Jesus entering into Jerusalem, Hosanna, again, which means to save me. Come and save me. Maybe he cried that out. Save us, we beseech you. And so I love the picture of the story of Zacchaeus and the parade of Jesus through Jericho and the salvation that it brought into his life. But I want to look at the third parade. And third parade also involves Jesus. And it's called the City Parade. It's called the City Parade. And it carries the banner of Christ to every nation, every day, to every city in the world, even carried right here into Kalinga. This is where I really want to try to emphasize the point that this applies to us. And this upcoming week of the parade through Kalinga. I mean, we're building a float not for our name, not so you can say, oh, that's First Southern Baptist Church's float. Don't they look cool? Well, that's not why we're doing it. We're doing it so that when people see the float, they identify with it somehow that draws them to say, I want to go to VBS. That they might see Jesus in the midst of everything. That they might have him speak to them through the Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit. That they might actually have them come, have Jesus come home with them because they've accepted him into their lives. So let's look at a few little passages. And Isaiah 5:26, it says, he will lift up a banner to the nations from afar and will whistle or call to them from the end of the earth. Surely they shall come with speed swiftly. So God expects every Christian, every church, to lift up the banner of Christ. We know what the banner is. The banner is like the sign that we have that Bob made that we put in front of the church, or that Dan had made as well, that we put on the float in the Jeep that says First Southern Baptist Church. It's a banner, First Southern Baptist Church, VBS, and the times and the date and that type of a thing. But we're called to lift up the banner of Jesus saves, the Hosanna, come save us now. We're called to lift up the gospel of Christ. And to declare that. That's what we're doing when we're going down the parade route in Kalinga. In essence, we're lifting up the banner of Jesus. That's the goal. That's the focal point. He's the focal point. That's what we want to see happen here. In Psalm 60, verse 4, it says, you have given a banner to those who fear you, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Selah. God has given not just the church the commission to hold up the banner of the gospel, but he's given you and I who fear the Lord, have respect for the Lord, love the Lord, to carry our own personal banner that reflects the character, the person, and the gospel of Jesus Christ through our lives. God expects each one of us to carry and present the banner of the gospel of Christ. And then in John 12:32, it says, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all peoples to myself. I started to pass that over too quickly because that's a promise. If I, Jesus, am lifted up from the earth, exalted, I will draw all people to myself. If we make Jesus known to people with boldness and clarity, Jesus promises he will bring people to himself, that he will honor that. And there's so many different avenues that we can present Jesus, but when we do, and we lift him up, and we give him the glory and the praise, and we honor him, then people will be drawn to him. If we want to see people come to Christ, we must lift them up through our lives, lift them up in our community or city, and lift them up in every nation. So the parading of Jesus, the banner of Christ, is not just a biblical, historical, personal parade, but it is a continual parade that goes throughout the ages, and in particular, the church age. And we're to continue to parade Christ everywhere we go, every day we live, because you and I are literally a banner, and we're called to reflect him and give him the glory and praise wherever we are. So at the Horned-Toed Derby Day Parade, we have an opportunity. And that's a great. God's given us that opportunity to lift up the standard, to lift up the banner of Christ in the city of Kalinga, the city parade. If you're involved in investing prayer for VBS or prayer for the parade, we had a family come to church as a result of the parade. They come hit and miss, but they come. Okay? And so as people see that and kids are drawn to that, it can draw families too. And so if you're investing prayer for the parade and the representation not of the church as First Southern Baptist Church, but the representation of Christ to draw kids into that, that's what we need, because there's power in prayer. Amen? Amen? And so we need to be prayerful investors, but we also need people to be involved. And like we said, passing out water, water stations so we can go back and get more. We need people to be involved in this parade and in VBS. And so they're going to be sincere people looking for hope at the parade. I think this aspect, when we think about the people that were on each side of Jesus entering in Jerusalem and in Jericho, there's different people there that are watching. And same as with us today. We're carrying Christ in the midst of our city, in the midst of people. There are going to be people there that are sincere, that are looking for hope, that don't have hope. There are going to be believers in Christ that will praise God when they see Jesus represented. Have you been there as a Christian? Wow, they're representing Christ. Isn't that great? We see it. We acknowledge that. There are going to be those that wait for the day of Christ when he governs the earth, ushering peace into the world. When they see us representing Christ, maybe many Christians are going to go, one day he's going to be ruling everything, governing everything. There will be those, obviously, that will be cynical and mock. Oh, great, here come those religious freaks. Here come those Christians. Oh, here comes First Southern Baptist Church of Kalinga. There are going to be those that are cynical and mock the name and the person of Christ. Nothing new. They did that to Jesus. There will be people who lay down their burlap bags, their coats of many colors. There will be people that climb trees to see Jesus from the hearts of sincerity. There's the jewel in the crowd. There are going to be people there from all different circumstances and backgrounds that are going to be attracted to Jesus because Jesus has been put in front of them. And that's a beautiful reality that is going to be there. And so as we parade through the street of Kalinga, it's an opportunity that God has given us that we're taking, that we want God to use to reflect Jesus, to lift him up, to draw all people to him, to draw more people to Jesus. And so we're not supposed to just do that on Derby Day. We're to do that as living temples of God, as children of light, to uphold the banner that we are. By being joyous in Christ, by living for Christ, by serving Christ, by being the people that God's called us to be, that are distinctively different than the way of the world. But even in more particular point here is that we are the people that are on assignment for the kingdom of God's work. Because that's the banner. That's the parade that Jesus did many, many times. That you and I join in that awesome opportunity of accepting the assignment of carrying out his kingdom work, lifting Jesus up. And so, if you're listening to this with your heart, and I'm not saying you're not, if people are listening to it, they're going to hear it later on the internet, that type of thing, don't let the parade pass you by. What I mean by that is maybe you're not saved. That's why I'm saying those that are in ears distance of this message, whether in this sanctuary or beyond, that here you have the opportunity. You have the parade of Christ coming before you. You have an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Savior. He's being presented to you. Don't let the parade pass you by. Don't be those that say, oh, that's what he looks like. See you later. But be like Zacchaeus that goes, I want to see you. And Jesus knew his heart and says, I not only acknowledge you, I'm coming to go visit you at your house, and you're going to be with me forever because you received me. Praise God for that. So don't let the parade pass you by. Seek Jesus like Zacchaeus, and of course meet him today. And remember, those of us that are his, carry the banner, be involved in the assignment, represent Jesus, and as we lift him up, know the promise of God's word that he will draw people to him through it. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I'm so thankful and grateful that you have given each one of us the great opportunity to represent you. Not just in the festivities of Derby Day, not just through VBS, although that is a great opportunity for us, but just because we're yours, just because we're your children, you have given each one of us as believers in you an opportunity to represent you more and more, more clearly, each and every day. And Father, as I've seen the joy on Christian hearts that are excited about you, representing you, it just overflows and it just touches other people. Some people that I have in my mind right now that I know, I've seen the joy of the Lord overflow in them. And there are moments when that joy is evident and overflowing, and other times when the joy is discreet and hidden secretly in our hearts. But help us to overflow with your love and with joy in you. Help us to be a people that just praise you because of who you are to us personally. And help us, Father, to just hold our banners up high, lifting up Jesus high. Because I want to see, as I know other Christians want to see, their lives impact other people's lives for you, that they might come to know you as their Savior, that we may be involved in that in greater ways, that we might count it all joy that you've included us in that process, that you might be glorified, Father, and magnified. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.